Magic Radio, follow the sound. We are back with another episode of All Things Popping in Asia, Pop Asia. What a historic Coachella weekend for our Asian artists.
A 21 comeback, Big Bang, Hikaru Utada. Can someone check the calendar? Because this is out of this world. But we'll get on that and all the other fun stuff only here at Magis Radio. Once again, I am your host, Gerald Morfe. With me is
Abby Alta. And you are tuned in to Pop Asia, only here at Magis Radio. Well, you know what? Let's start off then. Welcome to Coachella, or should I say K-chella, because K-pop had a big night at Coachella. But of course, the bigger story here is Asia's historic weekend made possible by 88 Rising's Miyashiro. Their Head in the Clouds Forever showcase in the Coachella stage is a showcase of Asia's power in pop music. The 80-minute set featured artists like Rich Brian, Nicki, Warren Hugh, BB, Jackson Wang, Millie, CL, and 21, along with Hikaru Utada. Miyashiro, in an interview with Billboard, said, "People really freaked out. Everybody killed it. And then Utada showed up on stage and her playing songs from everybody's childhood, there was a lot of conversation about that. All those energies combined, the past, present, and future, people freaked out and were calling it historic, monumental, all those different words. In case you didn't know, Utada is a superstar in Japan and elsewhere. In their set, they played a Kingdom of Hearts OST, Simple and Clean. They also played an artifact from our childhood, their hit ballad, First Love. To finish it off, they played a new song called Tea."
Yes, exactly. And there are also some new names you might not have heard of yet. For example, Millie, a Thai rapper, graced the stage as well. She was seen eating mango sticky rice at the end of her set, boosting sales of the desert in her home country. Talk about iconic, an F&B icon. We also have Bibi, a South Korean rapper, also brought out Yunira for their performance of the weekend, and wherein he opened the showcase with an electrifying set. This is the Indonesian artist in Coachella. He is signed with 88 Rising. And of course, also repping Indonesia is Nicki and Rich Brian. One, you could say that they really are 88 Rising's face. Last year, these guys worked on the music of Shang-Chi, an album executive produced by their company. And, you know, Rich Brian's 5-song set included his hits like Glow Like That and Drive Safe. And he debuted a song called Froyo. Also, Nicki performed Split and Drive On. She shocked the audiences with a rendition of Semporna, a famous song in Bahasa, which she dedicated to her family and her country. Then there's also Jackson Wang, na usap-usapan rin ang performance at Twitter because it also trended. You know, the Chinese rapper performed 100 Ways, Cruel, and his new song, Blow.
Well, there's that. There were also a lot of Korean performers in the show, like BB, but the biggest surprise of them all? CL. CL ran the show with her performances of Spicy, Chuck, and Hello, Bitches. Apparently, that was just warm-up because she closed the show by bringing out the rest of 21. Minzy, Bomb, and Dara came out to join her and, for a brief moment, reunited as 21. They performed their most iconic I'm the Best that closed the Head in the Clouds showcase. In a poignant thread of tweets, and I want everybody to say "감사합니다" Google Translate, alright? CL tweeted these in Korean. She said, "I'm grateful and blessed to be alive with pleasure, long enough to witness the marks I make and things I create blossom. When I was invited to Coachella, I really wanted to invite the members to this event because I wanted to gather with my own strength and our strength before it was too late." She also shouted out their fans and, of course, 21. "Through this moment today, I hope that the feelings we felt in the past will come back to life. Next time, I will keep running for the day when I fill the entire hour on the stage. Sign of things to come? Well, we can't wait for that day, Chaelin. Fighting!"
And of course, the K-pop rookie group aespa also graced the stage of Coachella, though hindi sila kasama sa Heads in the Cloud showcase since they performed on Weekend 2. But what a historic debut for the group in Coachella's main stage. You know, they started their set with Energy and then rolled off with their hits like Black Mamba, Savage, and Next Level. In addition, they also unveiled an English track called Life's Too Short. Of course, in true internet fashion, nag-away-away pa mga fans. For example, aespa's fandom are having shots at Blink's, Blackpink's fans. To recall, they are the first female K-pop group to be in the music festival in 2019. But fans argue that aespa is because, well, they're the first to be in the main stage. But really, these fans seem to forget the grandpas of Korean hip-hop. You know, the most influential group in Korea, Epic High, were the first Korean artists to grace the Coachella event in 2016. Like Tablo, Mithrajin, and DJ Tukut are invited back this year, 2022. They performed their hits like Born Hater and Rosario, but they went to the festival in support of their new album, Epic High is Here, Part 2.
Make no mistake though, some Asian Americans also played the festival. Other acts who made it through their ingenious music. We're glad to see a lot of Asians taking up space. Rina Sawayama came in and blew up. Japanese Breakfast also, who just came out with a best-selling memoir, Crying in H Mart. Ravina, an American, her family migrated from India in the 80s before she was alive. So yeah, American. 88 Rising's Joji was also there. The Who, a metal rock act with Mongolian war cries and poetry in their music, which is totally epic. Toki Monster, a Korean-American group, a Korean-American artist, threw a party. And also Berlin-based DJ Peggy Gu. Also the Korean-American Somi, an up-and-coming DJ you should watch out for. And Palestinian DJ Sama Abdul Hadi is an underground gem. Her Coachella performance has been a long time coming. Announced in 2020, it was canceled dahil sa isajan, COVID. Great thing she came through this year though. Thank you for that.
And speaking of long overdue comebacks, there's Big Bang. Blackpink, galaw-galaw, joke lang. They were also set to perform in the 2020 Coachella, but it was cancelled due to the global pandemic. And when the festival was announced this year, fans were disappointed that they were counted out. I mean, it's supposed to be their first comeback after 4 years due to Korea's mandatory military enlistment. However, fans were still glad that they came out with new music, a track called Still Life, released this early April, and it was received pretty well. To recall, Seungri was implicated in a criminal case and was sentenced to prison, so he's out of the band and disgraced by fans. In the case of T.O.P., the rapper's contract with YG is over. He's going to pursue other endeavors, but he said that if the circumstances are right, quote-unquote, he's there to perform with Big Bang. And that leaves the group with their three members, G-Dragon, Taeyang, and Daesung. Aside from music, though, these guys keep busy. You know, just ask G-Dragon, who released a very hype collab with Nike through his own label. Peace minus one, I guess. I guess that's how you say it, peace minus one. Yeah, okay. Paranoise and AF1, that changes color over time. It was one of the hottest drops of 2019. A new silhouette came out in 2020. And the kings of K-pop came a long way in their careers and their lives. You know, we wonder if this low-key comeback is a sign for more to come, no?
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be complaining, Gerald, if, you know, the Kings of K-Pop came back and decided to release, well, you know, a full album. I mean, I know some of them are already, like, living their own lives and are actually married, like, you know, Mr. Taeyang over there, who's, like, dedicating his music to his wife, which is the sweetest thing ever. But, I mean, if we get new music, who are we to complain?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so that Gerald, are you were you looking forward to any Coachella artists this year? I mean, considering that COVID took it away for a while, and now we're actually getting it back for the first time in such a long time. Were you looking forward to anyone?
It's already granted, you know, 21, you know, that's really a bomb, like that
True.
exploded everywhere. It's like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
That was like,
that
it was
turns
so
off.
amazing. They were
Yeah.
saying that no one else but the leader, aka CL, could reunite 21 on one stage again. Like, that woman has so much power. And I feel like K-pop should be more aware of that. That woman has, like, woman has the K-pop industry in a chokehold. Not even kidding.
Exactly. And do you also know yung ano, yung nawala yung heels ni Dara? Like, it was like thrown off the stage and nahanap naman doon niya yung pair according to her Twitter.
At least it, you know, it's wild out there, but like, performance goes first before all else.
Exactly, exactly. So to wrap up our first half, you know, I have, oh, sorry, to wrap up our first half, I want to ask our listeners out there, do you have any Coachella performances that you look out for this year? So, you know, you can answer that through wherever you like.
Yes. I mean, yeah, let us know. Were you looking forward to our, like, headliners, Harry Styles, Billie Eilish, The Weeknd, or, you know, maybe 88 Rising? Let us know. And we are back with K-pop boy group Seventeen released their first ever film called Seventeen Power of Love, the movie, here in the Philippines just last April 20. Fun fact, Power of Love is not just a movie, but it is also a song and online concert. It was their first special single Japanese album that was released back in 2021, and it was about how the power of love can conquer even the strongest of winters. Now, isn't that just nakakakilig? 17 concert, Power of Love was a live concert that was streamed online. It happened back in 2021, specifically November 14, 18, and 21. But sadly, June and the 8th could not participate in that concert because they were doing activities back in China. The film is described as a love letter in the form of a movie to their carrots. And we're pretty sure that their fans felt all the love the members had to give when watching it. The movie has clips from their concert. Yes, the concert of the same name. Interviews and many other behind the scenes footage. They talk about their past, present, and future with their carrots. Spoiler alert, in their interviews, they share anecdotes of how much they love singing and dancing and how they all ended up training at Pledis Entertainment. The group became sentimental, reminiscing on their 7 years together from their debut, their first music show win with Pretty You, and the bond that they have built ever since. Iyakan momento for sure. As Woozy mentioned, someone told him that their music gives them the strength to live, which is so, so true. The film acts not just as a love letter to carrots anymore, it is a love letter to themselves and their members. It highlights their successes and they talk about how they got there really gives a sentimental and heartwarming message. It's like a love letter to their own music as well. Think about it. 17 is known for being experimental. They're self-produced, they write and choreograph their own songs. They recall in their career how much they've grown shows how much their music has grown with them. Super ramdam yung I've made it na feeling, not just from 17, but also from the fans. All the more, nakakaiya.
Yes, grabe. Abi, patingin nga nung iyak moment mo dyan.
Patingin
ng iyak moment.
Do you hear it? Like...
Yeah, yeah. I can hear it naman. But okay, the relationship between K-pop fans and their idols runs deep. And apparently, there's this new term when describing these relationships, and it's called parasocial interactions. Yes, take note of that, guys. Parasocial interactions. It's actually a phenomenon where one-sided relationships. Wow.
Ouch.
Thank you.
Oh, the trigger. I mean, Gerald, I saw your face over there. I just saw the hurt on your face. I mean, I'm pretty sure you haven't experienced it, naman. But like,
no. For sure. Yeah, it's where one-sided relationships are formed, where the person extends everything. And when I say everything, everything talaga to another person. Now,
this is off the script. Na.
I think this is too personal.
Own definition, I think, guys.
No. It's not. Naman.
You can't read this. There's nothing in the script that says this.
But yeah, we're talking about emotional energy, like investing all your time and even money. But you know, Ali, stop. We need to finish this. Okay, we need to finish this. I need to tell everyone what parasocial interaction is. You know,
important.
Yeah, but yeah, it's about investing all your time and even money. But you know, the other person is not aware of that. Like fan na lang tawag natin of that fan's existence. So it's usually associated with celebrities, but nowadays, you know, it's just being used to describe K-pop fans. And you know, people can spend half a million pesos just for merch. Like, can you believe that, Abby?
As a K-pop fan, not merch is expensive. It's true. And you won't, like, you won't even notice how much you've spent until you go back and see everything that you've spent on. So half a million, I think that's justified from the videos I've watched. Plus concerts, you have to think about it. Concerts are expensive. Like, yeah, it's wild.
You know, who are we to judge, right? You know, these fans really do feel a connection to their idols, naman, for sure.
Yeah, at least there may connection to that. Ikaw, how are you feeling with, you know, what?
You know, when we jump to another point, you know, when idols go live.
Okay. Okay.
You know, we're talking about K-Chella here, Abby.
Okay.
K-Chella. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, when idols go on live, like for example, Instagram or like VLive, diba? You know, asking questions and talking to their fans in real time. And fans really like to feel they're cared for by their idols. Like, they ask things like, have you guys eaten? Or when they read your comment saying that you have a test, they will really wish you luck. And imagine someone who doesn't know you, but is still looking out for you. Like, okay. And to bring it back a little into 17's film, imagine being a carrot and seeing how much you mean to the members. Di ba yung nakakakilig? Like yung tipong, they really care about me kahit hindi ka naman nila kilala. That's, you know, the sad reality, but it's still true nonetheless. Talagang kilig factor everywhere.
Yeah, Gerald, I mean, where else can you feel this connection with the idols? I mean, well, concerts! There's this article that explains K-pop fans' relationship to their idols. So, sabi nga ng fan, there were no casual fans there. Just people who were passionate for this group and their music and message. There was a strong sense of comfort there, almost to the point where it didn't feel like a concert, but just more of a meeting. Totally, though, like, I really resonate with that, like, as a fan. Like, I'd go as far as to call it, like, feeling at home when you're at their concerts, because it's just uniting all these people with, like, such different backgrounds, but then they're so united in their love and passion for, like, their favorite idols. It's just, I don't know, like, you've never met these people, but then there's instant connection, instant chemistry, and that just goes to show how much there is of a connection of K-pop fans and their idols are. And then, you know, you have idols like Jennie and Rosé telling fans to stop crowding in front of the barrier, else people would fall. Like, that's such amazing concern. Like, where are you going to find idols like that? Then besides, physically, making sure the fans are okay. You have people like RM of BTS. I didn't know anything about how to love myself. You guys taught me through your love, through your tweets, through your letters, through your everything. Please use me. Please use BTS to love yourself, because you guys taught me to love myself every day. That is just so heartwarming.
So, I mean, sweet.
Yeah. Like, I want to share, like, there's, because my favorite K-pop group is EXO. And it's just, I've always, like, you know, I've always, like, thought of most K-pop relationships in, yeah, in a more of a parasocial aspect, in the sense that you don't really build connections with them. Like, you're there to watch and you're happy and satisfied enough to just be there to watch, even without getting acknowledged. And then, like, I just, like, it was just so heartwarming to know, because, like, you know, you see these idols, like, crying on stage, thanking their fans, like, being so touched with all the affection that they receive. It's just really nice. And then, where are you going to find a K-pop group that tells their fans to stop buying albums? Their albums, just so that they can spend it on more useful things like jackets for winter and stuff like that. Like, it's just really nice. And then, like, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, K-pop idols have like this like all-encompassing concern for their fans because, you know, they have everything to be thankful for because of them. Like, the fans mean something to the idols and the idols mean something to the fans. So honestly, who cares if they know each other personally? Like, you know, it's just a connection that's always there. This is why concerts in K-pop are very important.
Yes, I really love your explanation there, Abby. You know, these idols, they resonate with their fans. They care for their fans, and idols even make concert films to relive these cherished memories, right? And to also show their fans another level of themselves. And, you know, these K-pop concert films have existed for a while, and they didn't even start with BTS. They started with SM Entertainment and their SM Town concerts. You know, SM Town concerts are concerts that include every single one of SM Entertainment's artists. Like, mm-hmm. Their first film was back in 2012, and it was called I Am. It was about their preparations leading up to their concert in Madison Square Garden. That's like a big thing.
Yeah, that's Madison Square Garden. Who get the Madison Square Garden are pretty much big deal.
Yeah. And now there's many other artists who have followed, like, for example, Twice Land for the girl group Twice, Big Bang 10, the movie, like, Big Bang made for Big Bang, and Blackpink, the movie for Blackpink, Burn the Stage, the movie by BTS, and of course, this newest film by Seventeen. And as we slowly move into the new normal, only time will tell when the next K-pop concert will be, and in turn, the next time fans will get to physically interact with their idols once more.
Yes, Gerald, I think, and I really would like to believe that K-pop concerts are soon to be on the comeback, at least in the Philippines, considering that Happy Hour, a very famous promoter that brings K-pop concerts to Manila, has posted that the Stray Kids concert date is soon to be announced in Manila, meaning there is something that's already confirmed. So I guess that's going to be our first, along with Running Man. The variety show, they're going to be doing, if I'm not mistaken, a fan meet in the Philippines, and they're also scheduled and they're yet to announce a date, which is pretty fun.
That's really nice. And hopefully, as we, you know, as we traverse through this new normal, you know, we still have the heart, we still feel what it's like to be in a concert, you know, when we attend one.
Yes, I really do hope that, you know, all of us get to experience at least once in a lifetime the opportunity to be able to get to a K-pop concert, because it surely is a surreal and different experience from everything else. With that, we'd like to close off with a question for our listeners. What's a K-pop concert film you really liked, or what's a concert film you want to happen, like with other groups, like, I don't know, maybe EXO, NCT, Stray Kids, ITZY, or, you know, all the up-and-coming groups. Who's your favorite and who do you want to see next?
Yes, and with that, we are closing off K-Chella this episode under Pop Asia. Once again, it's your OG na medyo lutang na freshie from AB Communication, Gerald Morfe. With me is
our second favorite Leo after Brett Monrock from 1AB Communications, Abby Alta.
And we're out here closing and saying, Magis Radio, always follow the sound. Pop Asia is a production of Magis Radio, which was written by Jerome Agbalza and Alex Garcia and edited by 30 Saruka. We'll be back with a new episode of Magis Presents. Thank you, guys.